Wake up, everyone. It's time for a call to action. Welcome to Call to Action Today, where there are no sacred cows, with your host, Steve Noble, just an ordinary man who believes in an extraordinary God, and he's calling you out every week to live the Christian life in your home, your work, and even in politics. Call Steve now at 866-34-TRUTH, or check him out online at c2atoday.org. And now, with some much-needed cough medicine for the church, here's your host, Steve Noble.
Every 4 years, we gather on these steps to carry out the orderly and peaceful transfer of power. Today's ceremony, however, has very special meaning because today we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C. and giving it back to the people. That was Donald J. Trump, our 45th president of the United States, sworn in earlier today, 12 p.m. Eastern time, according to the U.S. Constitution, there in Washington, D.C. Whether you like it or not, whether you voted for him or not, Donald J. Trump is now your president and mine as well. So we're going to be talking about his inaugural speech, which was historic on many different levels. One friend of mine called it radical. And we'll just see. We'll parse through what Donald had to say, and we'll consider the words of our brand new president. A very emotional day, pretty amazing day, and obviously a historic day. But one of the things you didn't see a whole lot on the air and on TV was all the demonstrations. But I happen to have a good friend, Jim Anthony, who was right there. God used Jim to help launch Call to Action way back in 2004, right there at the beginning. He was on our original board of directors, a great friend, a godly man, and has been up there and experienced some of this madness going on in Washington, D.C. today. Jim Anthony, my buddy, how are you?
Doing great, Steve. What a pleasure to hear your voice and be on your show.
Well, it's great to have you, and it sounds like you and your fiance had some dicey moments up there. So take us into your world up there in D.C. today. What did you see? What did you experience?
Well, we took the train down from Philadelphia, got to Union Station, and as soon as we walked out the doors of Union Station, there were pockets of these protesters sort of scattered all around. The first one we encountered was something called the Workers' Party spot. And as you move around, as we drove around and walked around the city, there are different, you know, so many different radical leftist groups here. And then a number of them decided to band together and stop people from getting out on the inauguration green, the mall itself, to keep us from being part of the large crowd in front of the Capitol. And we tried in a couple of different spots to get through, and we walked up to where they had the roads and sidewalks blocked, and these people were standing arm in arm up against the walls of the buildings on either side and threatening anybody who tried to come through, claiming that this way is blocked, you can't get through here, daring us to try to walk through. And we were standing there with a couple of biker guys who looked like they were going to start going at it with these folks, and they thought better of it, turned around.
Yeah,
we did the same thing. This was going on multiple streets, but we did find a spot where we could get into the building that we wanted to get to after the actual swearing-in. We never could get to the swearing-in, so there were a lot of folks who were actually blocked from getting to the swearing-in by people. We asked the police, why are you not removing these people from the sidewalks and streets? And they just kind of shrugged their shoulders and Dennis, and they said, you know, go down that way, you might be able to get through. They didn't want to start any scenes by dragging these people out of the way.
Sure.
But once they started throwing rocks through windows, smashing windows, and in cars and businesses on, I think it was L Street, I saw two Starbucks with their windows smashed out,
wow,
a Bank of America with its windows smashed out, a number of cars that were limousines and sort of Politico-type cars, you know, you can tell the black Tahoes and so forth, and they were parked in front of nice hotels. The Hamilton Hotel had a window smashed out of it. And so when we were coming back to our hotel to get some rest before the ball that we're going to tonight, the guy that we were riding on, we decided to try one of those little carts, the guy on a bicycle is pulling us around. So we got in that thing, and we hear these loud bursts. Bombs, like bombs going off, and I thought, oh crap, I wonder if they're setting off bombs. And in fact, it was the police who were setting off stun grenades in the midst of these people that were smashing windows. And so as they scattered them, the police would gather the folks that were the perpetrators of these criminal acts of vandalism, and they were arresting them. We saw them arresting folks and putting them in their paddy wagons.
Well, just for the sake of time, Jim, two real quick questions for you. At some point, did you guys ever feel threatened? I mean, bodily threatened, like your lives were perhaps in danger, or at least perhaps getting hurt. And then, what about some of the things they were yelling at you guys? And I know you probably can't repeat most of it on the.
You're exactly right. I can't. They were clearly trying to provoke us into some sort of. Combat. I mean, literally, the language they were using was as foul as you can imagine, preceding words like racist. And they don't know a thing about me. Gina and I are just dressed like, you know, nice business people would dress, going into something with a coat and tie on.
Sure.
And so we're obviously Trump supporters in their minds. Who knows? Maybe I'm a Bernie Sanders supporter. They didn't care. I looked like a Trump supporter. So did Gina. And they were yelling things to provoke her and me independently. And I think they're kind of hoping that we might start something so they could call the cops on us or something.
Setting aside the negativity that you experienced there today, what's the upside of this for you being there? You know, you've been an active Christian, an active person in the political realm. What was the upside for you today, Jim, being there? I don't have a lot of time left, but if you could real quick in about 30 seconds.
Just the fact that I've sort of looked the evil that exists in our ignorant and uninformed populace right in the face. I mean, I've been there now. I've seen it on television, but now I've seen it face to face.
Yeah, yeah.
And I know
pretty
what
alarming
light looks like.
Yeah, that's right, and pretty sobering. Better. Jim, thanks for calling in today. I appreciate you being there. Be safe. Enjoy the time tonight. And friends, when we come back, we'll start talking about Donald Trump's acceptance speech. It's a doozy. This is Steve Noble. We'll be right back. 'Cause you are more than I could ever dream. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio. Great to be with you as always today on January 20th, when our brand new president, Donald J. Trump, became the 45th president of the United States. And if you were up there, anywhere near there, or had some friends there, ask them if they got one of the free joints. There were 5,000 marijuana cigarettes at least passed out. I guess that's the way some people on the left choose to demonstrate, is by getting high, whatever. Guys, as we say down here in the South, I suppose I should say God bless them. So today we are talking about the inauguration today of Donald J. Trump, and I really want to focus in on his speech, although it was fascinating to watch it from the front to the back. Started watching this morning at about 9 and stayed through it all the way through the inauguration and part of the congressional lunch, and to watch the peaceful transfer of power, which, by the way, is still one of the bedrock things about the American experiment, is that we can flip from the right to the left, from conservative to liberal and liberal to conservative. We can flip the entire power structure of our government, for the most part, in one day. And even though, like my buddy Jim Anthony was talking about live from Washington, D.C., even though there's been demonstrations, but perhaps one of the most demonstrated against inaugurations in history, as far as we know, even though all that's going on, you still have The 44th president, Barack Obama, is now out, and the new president, President Donald J. Trump, is in. And as ugly as it could be a few times, and as much as we saw online, here we are. A new era of a new president has begun, and the country is not on fire. So we should all be praising the Lord for that. It really is an amazing testimony, not only to God's grace, but to his providence in allowing these founding fathers to design a nation that's been able to self-govern this way. For the most part, of course, it doesn't look the way we want it to look, and it continues to erode. But in the grand scheme of things around the world, you cannot flip a power base like this without seeing riots and all kinds of violence and coups. So we need to be thanking the Lord today for this blessing that we continue to have here in the United States of America. But it was interesting to watch the cast of characters come and go. I think the people that were the most sour, from what I could tell, was definitely Bill and Hillary Clinton, and particularly Hillary. She just looked like, you know, I can only imagine what it's like to be there watching your competitor take the office that you thought for sure was going to be yours, as well as all her supporters. So definitely that looked pretty nasty there today. But really, I was mostly interested to see how Donald Trump was going to address this all of a sudden. And we kept saying, I'm up here in Virginia with a bunch of my buddies. We come up once a year for a men's weekend, just some great godly men and friends of mine. And every once in a while, we were just like, holy cow, Donald Trump is now the president of the United States. It's really just, you can't make this stuff up. I've said it so many times during the primary and during the general election. Donald Trump versus Hillary Clinton might have been a good Saturday Night Live skit 4 or 5 years ago today. But today, you know, 5 years ago, but today, Donald Trump is my president. He's your president. He's everybody's president, whether you like him or not. So just amazing what continues to happen in this country. And just, you know, you just kind of shake your head. But let's make sure we're praying for this guy. I think you could see it happening as he gave his inauguration speech, essentially declaring political war on, everybody. Everybody, everything, every institution, every country out there that Donald Trump and many of us think have been taking us for a ride. And boy, did he lay down the gauntlet. So I'm just going to go through. I've got the whole transcript of his speech. I'm going to go through some parts that I've highlighted that I think were particularly interesting and powerful, and comment on those. And then on Monday, I'll be live back in the studio where it's a lot easier to take live phone calls. So I definitely want to hear from you on Monday. So I hope you'll be back then, and we'll open up the phones for the whole hour and just get your reaction to what we're seeing, not only today, but what continues to unfold over the weekend. What executive orders is he going to sign today? How much business is going to get done? I can tell you one thing, this guy's all about business, and he's going to get right down to it. Okay, so I mentioned early on in his speech, today's ceremony, however, has very special meaning because today we are not merely transferring power from one administration to another or from one party to another, but we are transferring power from Washington, D.C. and giving it back to you, the people. That was about 8 lines into his speech. And right there, you knew where he was going. He's a populist candidate. For some people, I was thinking today, Glenn Beck's probably losing his mind because he's seeing Donald Trump and thinking this sounds a lot like Hitler, this whole populist nationalistic message. But that got the guy to the White House. So that was his kind of his opening shot, that we're going to take power from D.C. and we're going to give it back to the people. He went on to say, for too long, a small group in our nation's capital has reaped the rewards of government while the people have borne the cost. Washington flourished, but the people did not share in its wealth. Politicians prospered, but the jobs left and the factories closed. The establishment protected itself, but not the citizens of our country. Their victories have not been your victories. Their triumphs have not been your triumphs. And while they celebrated in our nation's capital, there was little to celebrate for struggling families all across our land. Returning to Donald Trump, returning to his forgotten man and forgotten woman mantra that he used, especially in the general election, in this inaugural speech not only was about what Donald Trump wants to do as the leader of, a reminder here, one branch of the federal government. He said in his first press conference last week, you know, when I'm running the country, let me just remind you, whether you're a Donald Trump big fan or not, the president of the United States never has and never should run, quote unquote, run the country. He runs the executive branch. It is a powerful position, no doubt, but our founding fathers were smarter than that. They had lived under a despotism. They had lived under a tyranny with King George, where one person, quote unquote, ruled the country, and no human being, other than Jesus Christ himself, no human being should have that kind of power. So remember that. We need to be very sober-minded while we pray for Donald Trump, while we pray for all of our leaders. We need to remain sober-minded. Vigilance is the cost of eternal freedom, right? Eternal vigilance is the cost of freedom. That old saying from the late 1700s. And that's true. So we need to be vigilant. But Donald Trump, essentially just laying the gauntlet down today, it was really amazing to watch. So he goes on to say this. All change is starting right here and right now because this moment is your moment. It belongs to you. What truly matters is not which party controls our government, but whether our government is controlled by the people. January 20th, 2017 will be remembered as the day the people became the rulers of this nation again. The forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. So again, going to that populist rhetoric, and you could only imagine as he got stronger and stronger in this speech, I'm sure those on the left, people especially on the far left, all these demonstrators, people sitting behind him in the gallery, the Democrats that did bother to show up, about 70 of them chose to boycott. By the way, I mentioned this the other day, just a little interesting piece of trivia. You know that the last time you had that many senators and congresspeople, you know the last time that many of them boycotted an inauguration? Guess when it was? The 1860s. Now, if you know your history, what happened in this country during the 1860s? Oh, that's right. It was the Civil War and the inauguration of Abraham Lincoln. And guess who didn't go? Guess who didn't want to see the Emancipation Proclamation president sworn in? It was almost 70 Southern Democrats. And it's been that long, hopefully not an ominous sign in terms of the Civil War then and the civil ideological war that we're experiencing today in our country. But, you know, I appreciated this aspect of Donald Trump's speech. I appreciated just about all of it. To expect him to come out and try to mend fences and put out an olive branch, that's not what got him to the office. That's not what the people that elected him wanted. They want him there to kick tail and take names. And that was exactly how he started his presidency today at a little after 12 o'clock Eastern. And it was one declaration of political war after another. I'm going to get to all that when we come back after the break. This is Steve Noble. This is Call to Action Radio. We'll be right back after this. Welcome back. It's Steve Noble. Call to Action Radio, January 20th, 2017, a historic day to say the least. As the 45th president of the United States was sworn in and gave his inaugural speech, Donald J. Trump is now your president and my president again, regardless of whether you voted for him or not. He is the president of the United States, arguably the most powerful man on the planet, and the host of Celebrity Apprentice just not that long ago. Isn't that crazy? It's just amazing to think about that. I put this on Facebook earlier today, shortly after his speech. I just asked people on Facebook, give me one word to describe Donald Trump's inaugural speech. What do you think it is? So here's the list. Unapologetic, presidential, leader, strong, wonderful, passionate, guts, hallelujah, statesman. I didn't really get the whole statesman part. Renewing, commanding, bold, great, presidential, strong, once again. So on and on the list goes. Certainly historic speech. I don't think people that dislike Donald Trump were disappointed with just how pointed his speech was. And in your face, essentially declaring political war across the political spectrum, not only here in the United States, but around the world. So we're going to get to that as we're moving through his speech today. I've got the full transcript of it and highlighted some things I want to talk about. But immediately, it didn't take long. I put this on Facebook as well. And if you want to jump on the Facebook page, facebook.com/C2A Radio. While all this was happening, the before the parades, before the inauguration itself, I mean, as soon as he gets there and he's given a speech, boom, all of a sudden you go to whitehouse.gov. And it's the inauguration of Donald Trump. It's Let's Make America Great Again Together. The movement continues. The work begins. A quote from Donald President Trump. And you go to the issues page. All the Obama stuff, gone. 8 years later, poof, it's all gone. Whitehouse.gov is all Donald Trump all the time now, at least for the next 4 years. America First Energy Plan, America First Foreign Policy, bringing back jobs and growth, making our military strong again, standing up for our law enforcement community, trade deals working for all Americans. at whitehouse.gov. So let's jump right back into Donald Trump's speech. And it's going to be interesting to see as this day unfolds. Right now they're doing the presidential inauguration parade, which he cut short. Usually there's 10 presidential inaugural balls tonight. He's only having three. And so this is a guy that just wants to get to work. That's his deal. Remember, he only sleeps like 4 or 5 hours a night. And he's essentially just a workaholic work machine. So I'm sure he has very little interest in dancing his way through the night. I'm sure he wants to get into the Oval Office and get busy. So let's jump back into this speech and talk about what he said. And again, he's kind of coming back to this, the forgotten men and women of our country will be forgotten no longer. Then he goes to a part of this speech, really interesting to watch him operate in the black church and talking about the inner cities. And when he told black listeners, this was about the middle of the general election campaign, when he said, hey, listen, go with me because you got nothing to lose. What's the Democratic Party given you over the last 30, 40, 50 years? You have nothing to lose. So he really made an interesting play for the African American community, but then the inner city as well. So here's what he said as part of his inauguration speech. At the center of this movement is a crucial conviction that a nation exists to serve its citizens. Yeah, remember that's what the Bill of Rights is all about. Americans want great schools for their children, safe neighborhoods for their families, and good jobs for themselves. These are just and reasonable demands of righteous people and a righteous public. Now that's where, let me just jump in here. For Donald Trump, who's not, as far as I can tell, a born again Christian, reasonable demands of righous people and righteous, and the righteous public. Who's righteous, on their own? Nobody. Do you think we live amongst a righteous people and a righteous public? Absolutely we do not. The only righteousness any human being can ever claim is the righteousness that's imputed to their account by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. But that's me being an evangelical Christian, and I'm not going to put that on top of Donald Trump. We should just notice those things. If you're a follower of Christ and if you're all involved in the political realm and paying attention to this stuff, just remember that you got a lot of worldliness in here. And the only reason I bring this up is to make sure we're all sharpening our biblical worldview. And when you hear things that aren't true from God's perspective, you need to note that to help sharpen your own understanding, to make sure you're carrying the truth forward and not letting it be diluted by the things of the world, even if it's somebody that you happen to like or maybe voted for. Back to his speech. But for too many of our citizens, a different reality exists. Mothers and children trapped in poverty in our inner cities. Rusted out factories scattered like tombstones across the landscape of our nation. An education system flush with cash, but which leaves our young and beautiful students deprived of all knowledge. And the crime and the gangs and the drugs that have stolen too many lives and robbed our country of so much unrealized potential. This American carnage stops right here, and it stops right now. Well, that's obviously hyperbole to a certain extent. It didn't stop when he uttered the words, but that's the way Donald Trump rolls. As one commentator said really so accurately, and I think this really kind of boils down in one sentence exactly the perception of Donald Trump, not only during the primary, but during the general election. Liberals would take Donald Trump literally, but not seriously. His supporters took him seriously, but not literally. So when Donald Trump says this American carnage stops right here and stops right now, he's not being literal. Of course, he doesn't think that, boom, just because he said it, it's over. He just means the process of stopping it starts right now. That's what he's getting at. And I love that kind of bold leadership. We haven't seen that in a while. We'll have to see if he follows through. And how much can he do? Remember, he's the president of the United States. He's the leader of one of three branches. He is not the king of America. Going back to his speech. For many decades, we've enriched foreign industry. I love this part. We've enriched foreign industry at the expense of American industry, subsidized the armies of other countries while allowing for the very sad depletion of our own military. We've defended other nations' borders while refusing to defend our own. We've made other countries rich while the wealth, strength, and confidence of our country has dissipated over the horizon. Now, this is a great point. This is one of the points that really gave him a lot of momentum, not only in the primary, but in the general election, of course, against Hillary. It's a nationalistic message? Yes. It's a populist message? Yes. But it is a message that we need to deal with and a message that we need to enact. He said this a little bit later in the speech that, listen, there's nothing inherently wrong with a country putting its self-interest first. That's what the Constitution is all about. The Constitution for a president or any other elected official was about defending the Constitution of the United States from all enemies, foreign and domestic. It was always about the United States. It's supposed to be about the United States. And in our liberal-minded sectors of the government, it's this whole one world, can't we all just get along, Rodney King kind of attitude, which doesn't work. Do you think other countries are looking out for America? No, what they're looking out for is getting American checks in the mail and American support inside their own houses of government. No, nobody else in the world is really looking out for America, perhaps Israel and perhaps Great Britain, but that's really about it. And so Donald Trump goes on to say, we've assembled here today, are issuing a new decree to be heard in every city, in every foreign capital, and in every hall of power. From this day forward, a new vision will govern our land. From this day forward, it's going to be only America first. America first. Now, I know I was thinking about Glenn Beck when he said that, because Glenn Beck has backed off of his kind of veiled comparisons between Donald Trump and Adolf Hitler, and he's kind of backed off it a little bit. But I'm telling you, if you tune into Glenn Beck on Monday, and there's many things about Glenn Beck I respect. I think the guy's brilliant. He's great on the radio, but he is a Mormon. He's a member of a false religion, and you can hear that in his he's chasing, trying to find joy, trying to find peace in the things of men and the things of the condition of the country or the condition of the political realm. He's a peaceless man because he doesn't know the Prince of Peace. That's the problem with him being a Mormon. But he also is, you know, he can be a little nutty and definitely not a, he was a never Trumper all the way through. And it's going to be fascinating to listen to him on Monday because I'm pretty sure he's going to go bonkers about this and claim nationalism, too much nationalism. And now you're on the road to Nazi Germany. But right now we need a dose of nationalism. Do we not? We need a dose of thinking America has been and can be exceptional, was designed to be exceptional. And that resonates with most of us, does it not? So here he goes. This is some great lines again from Donald Trump's acceptance speech earlier today at a little past noon Eastern time. We will follow two simple rules: buy American and hire American. Now remember the first part, buy American. That used to be something we were proud to say. We believed in that. Now we're going to see when the rubber hits the road, because if we're going to buy American across the board, guess what, friend? Prices are going to go up because we can't pay people the low wages that get paid around the world. And so prices are going to go up. So there's going to be a price to pay for all of us if we're going to really try to follow through on that. And do we find a new normal? Are we willing to do that? We're going to find out. He goes on to say this: we will seek friendship and goodwill with the nations of the world, but we will do so with the understanding that it is the right of all nations to put their own interests first. Thank you very much, Donald. We do not seek to impose our way of life on anyone, but rather to let it shine as an example. We will shine for everyone to follow. That, friends, is the end, at least for the next 4 years, of our nation-building efforts around the world. Listen. The American experiment, our form of government, a representative republic, was designed for a religious and moral people. And guess what religion that was? And still is, as a matter of fact. That's Christianity. You cannot impose our form of government in the Middle East. It's never going to work. So, yeah, I'm totally with you there, Donald. We will shine. We will be an example, but we're not going to nation build. We'll be right back. Welcome back. This is Steve Noble, Call to Action Radio, today on this historic transfer of power, a peaceful transfer of power, almost entirely. Of course, there were a number of demonstrations, some violence there in D.C. Probably last I heard about 90, 100 plus people have been arrested, some property damage. We'll see what continues to happen. The inaugural parade's going on right now. They've got that really tight. And actually, Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States, President Trump, made a decision. I don't know when this happened, but they shortened the parade. He's just not a pomp and circumstance kind of guy. He's a get-to-work kind of guy, and that's exactly what I think we can expect. This was really interesting. I was looking this up, and you could tell from the tone of his speech today and what he was going after, which was essentially declaring political war on pretty much everybody on the stage, every special interest, and literally every country around the world, putting them on notice that it's America first all the time now with President Trump in office. But you remember one of the things that you always notice about Barack Obama's speeches, former president, which Feels pretty good to be able to say that. Former President Barack Obama, he talks about himself a lot. I. How many times do you think Donald Trump mentioned himself in his speech? The entire speech. How many times do you think he mentioned himself? Three. He mentioned himself three times, referring to we, the American people, 45 times. 45 times. It's all about us, we, the American people. Three times he mentioned himself. That was certainly a breath of fresh air. Watching right now a little bit on online, watching some of the presidential parade, which I think they really cut back on the amount of people that could even access this thing. Today I saw a picture, a buddy of mine that you'll get to know next week. You'll meet him next week. Jay McMichael is one of the senior cameramen, photojournalists, operates a camera for CNN. He's the guy that I met when CNN came to town during the HB2 controversy over the summer in North Carolina and interviewed me. And we've become friends, and this is his eighth inauguration, and he's been behind the camera at all kinds of pivotal historical moments in American history for the last 25 years. Fascinating, fascinating guy, all kinds of great stories. And he was there today and talk and put up online and sent it around to a few people pictures of the mall when Obama was inaugurated in 2008 and pictures of the mall today. Clearly, at the time when the picture was taken, there were significantly 30%, 40% more people, it looked like, if I had to guess, on the mall for Obama's inauguration. But remember, today they shut down. Protesters were able to shut down at least two access points. The security was unbelievably high all over the city. And I just read a story that there were just thousands of people that couldn't even get on the mall because of the security and because of some of these access points being choked off by the protesters. But you know what? It's a bummer. And it's a sad statement about where our country is right now. But ultimately, who cares? It stopped nothing other than people watching it. But Donald Trump is now the 45th president of the United States. They accomplished essentially nothing, and I'm grateful for that. So let's go back to his speech. I want to make sure we finish up talking about the speech. And again, on Monday on Call to Action, I'll be back in the regular studio. I want to take your calls, give you the whole show on Monday to get your reaction to a new president, to the inauguration, to his speech, and to the things that I'm sure are going to happen fast and furious between now and Monday when we do the show again there. So here, let's go back to his speech. At the bedrock of our politics will be a total allegiance to the United States of America. And through our loyalty to our country, we will discover our loyalty to each other. When you open your heart to patriotism, there is no room for prejudice. That is a great soaring statement. We'll see how far it goes. Opening your heart to patriotism is nice, and I think it's helpful. Ultimately, it's not the solution for prejudice, for hatred, for racism. The only solution on this earth for that is the unity that's found through Jesus Christ. So, yeah, I mean, I'm always going to talk about that. That's who I am. That's what God has done in my life. So I'm always going to bring that to bear on all these things. And I don't say that to bash Donald Trump. Because from what I can tell, maybe he has become a born-again Christian. I do not know. I do know this, and I know several people that are on his evangelical advisory committee. The guy's heard the gospel more times in the last 8 months than he's probably heard it in his whole life, because he's surrounded himself, not the least of which is his vice president, which was awesome to watch Mike Pence be sworn in today, because he is a remarkably godly and humble man. I've been in a small room with Mike Pence a couple times. He is the real deal. 100%. I was so excited when Donald Trump decided to pick Mike Pence to be his vice president. That gave me a whole lot more peace with Donald Trump being the next president of the United States, as he became today, than I had before that moment. So who knows? But I don't expect Donald to have an evangelical bent. However, his inauguration sure did. You heard Jesus Christ boldly proclaimed, Franklin Graham, using a passage of scripture in 2 Timothy or 1 Timothy chapter 2, gets the gospel in there. That was all, even Paula White. People were worried about Paula White because she's definitely kind of a prosperity preacher out of Florida. She knocked it out of the park. That was a great prayer. We were like, amen, amen, as these prayers, one right after another, and scripture reading one passage after another, were going up. I think probably the most evangelical inauguration ceremony we've seen, certainly in my lifetime, and I'll be 51 next month. Okay, so here he goes to the Bible towards the end of his speech. The Bible tells us how good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. Okay, class, question, quiz time. Who are God's people? Who are God's people in 2017? Is it everybody in America? Everybody in North America, Everybody in the world, are we all God's children? I know that's a popular sentiment, but just to digress for a moment, or to progress, as it were, on theology, we're not all God's children. We aren't. Scripture says we aren't. To those who put their faith in Christ, he gives the right to be called children of God. This is who I am. I can't help myself. I'm always going to go to that biblical application. But I get the point. I get his point here. How good and pleasant it is when God's people live together in unity. He's talking about Americans. We must speak our minds openly, debate our disagreements honestly, but always pursue solidarity. That's a great sentiment. When America is united, America is totally unstoppable. And that's been our problem for a long time. I hope Donald Trump will move us in that direction. I don't think he can get that deal done. But hopefully he'll surprise people. And as America hopefully will become more prosperous, people will start to give him a break, especially people that opposed him or hate him. And maybe we will see some unity. We need to be praying about that. Back to the speech. There should be no fear. We are protected and we will always be protected. We will be protected by the great men and women of our military and law enforcement. And most importantly, we will be protected by God. Okay, I got to do it again. Don't presume on God's protection. In a country that has, I would say, almost giddily, in terms of our ideology and our politics, allowed the execution of nearly 60 million preborn children in the womb, and some of them partial birth abortion, and then we're happy to, Planned Parenthood's happy to sell their body parts. You really want to presume on God's protection and God's blessings? Listen, I think most likely what's going on in America is something that we've deserved. God's like, you know, it's the old Burger King commercial. Hold the pickles, hold the lettuce, special orders don't upset us. All we ask is that you let us serve it your way. Fine. You want to live your life without the God of the Bible, without the power of the Holy Spirit, without the saving grace of Jesus Christ, God allows you to, and he's allowed our nation to do that. So remember what the scriptures say, that righteousness exalts a nation, and sin is a reproach to any people. And righteousness has certainly not ruled in the United States of America for a long time, and so I don't know that we can presume on God's grace. Yet another reason that we all need to be praying, not only for Donald Trump, the 45th president of the United States, but for all of our leaders, according to scripture. Again, I'll mention this. I mention this website every week. Pray1tim2.org. Pray1tim2.org. Go there. Pick your state. Sign up for an email. You'll get an email in your box every morning with six or seven elected officials to pray for. And I've been doing that for several years now. And, you know, God hears those prayers. And he tells us, this isn't a suggestion. Hey, you know, when you get a minute, when you're not praying for your own health and your own prosperity, you might want to pray for some people in authority over you. No, he commands us to pray for them that are in authority over us. We definitely need to be doing that now, because Donald Trump's walking into Washington, D.C. with a big stick, and he's not afraid to use it. And boy, he needs some wisdom. I think he needs some humility, and he definitely needs our prayers. The time for empty talk is over, he said. Now arrives the hour of action. That's probably true. It's time to remember that old wisdom. Our soldiers will never forget that whether we are black or brown or white, we all bleed the same red blood of patriots. I love that line. We all enjoy the same glorious freedoms, and we all salute the same great American flag. And whether a child is born in the urban sprawl of Detroit or the windswept plains of Nebraska, they look up at the same night sky, they will their heart with the same dreams, and they are infused with the breath of life by the same almighty creator. So to all Americans in every city, near and far, small and large, from mountain to mountain, from ocean to ocean, hear these words. You will never be ignored again. Your voice, your hopes, and your dreams will define our American destiny, and your courage and goodness and love will forever guide us along the way. Together, we will make America strong again. We will make America wealthy again. We will make America proud again. We will make America safe again. And yes, together, we will make America great again. Ending his inauguration speech, of course, with that classic line and the theme of his campaign, Make America Great Again. Donald J. Trump is, it's in the books, is the 45th president of the United States. And so now the hard work it ramps up from here. And again, I plead with you. I urge you. I exhort you. We need to be praying for this man. We need to be praying for all of our leaders, not only in Washington, D.C., but around the country, in your state, down there in Florida, over there in Oregon, over in Iowa, out in Kansas, out in Nebraska, here in North Carolina. and all the places that God has allowed us to be on the air. Every Christian, we all need to be praying for those in authority over us. So let's make sure we're doing that. I think it's been a great day. It's been a historic day. Let's continue to pray for peace today and throughout the weekend. I'll be back on Monday in the studio looking forward to taking your calls and see what you thought about the inauguration of the 45th President of the United States, Donald J. Trump. This is Steve Noble. It is Call to Action Radio. Always a blessing to be with you. And God willing, I'll talk to you again real soon.